My dearly beloved in Christ, on July 9th, we celebrated one of the models for Catholic youth, St. Maria Goretti. She died in 1902. And then for young men, we have the model of St. Dominic Savio, who died in 1857. And St. Maria Goretti is a model of purity and a patroness of moral absolutes. St. Maria Goretti gave her life rather than consent to an act of impurity. St. Maria Goretti clearly understood that right is right and wrong is wrong, and the consequences for consenting to such a mortal sin would be eternal suffering. Many of you are familiar with the basics of this young saint's life. However, hearing the details of her short life can only leave one with a sense of wonder and admiration. Maria was born on October 16th, 1890. She displayed a quiet reserve and seriousness of character, but was of a happy and cheerful disposition. Although her parents had no schooling themselves and were very poor, they were very devout Catholics. The only instruction they could afford was good example, love of prayer, faithful assistance at Mass, and the frequent and fervent reception of the sacraments. Mary liked to play as any other child, but had one remarkable characteristic, her obedience, in which she was always cheerful and prompt. No matter what happened, Maria always obeyed. Even when other children urged her to disobey, she paid no attention to them. As more children were born into the family, Maria's father realized his small piece of land could not support his growing numbers. So the family situation became so critical that with the help of the Cimarelli family, they moved from Coronado to a town near Rome. And then later, because the situation didn't really improve, they moved near Nettuno, where they would work as sharecroppers in the land of Count Mazzoleni. So it was the Serinelli family, the Goretti family, and also the Cimarellis. The Serinellis and Goretti families would share a farmhouse where the Grettis would live on the second floor and the Serinellis on the bottom floor. The Cimarelli family would lodge in a newer house nearby. Unfortunately, this new area was a very unhealthy place because of the marshes and swamps. Malaria was rampant, and another recurrent epidemic saw the deaths of many, including Maria's father, who at the time was only 41 years old. His death left Maria's mother, who was 35 years old at the time, to provide for her six children, the eldest being 12 and the youngest only 3 months old. After the death of her husband, Assunta was forced to take his place in the fields, leaving Maria, who's only 9 and a half, to assume all the duties of the household, washing, cleaning, cooking, mending, marketing, and the care of the children. Maria remained uneducated, her diet was meager, and her responsibilities went far beyond what was considered bearable for one of that age. She, however, remained meek and loving and displayed a marvelous spirit of mortification. Many a day she went hungry, suffering silently without complaint. If anyone gave her anything in charity, she would take it home to give to her brothers and sister. In addition, she would have to take a long walk to market to sell the eggs and pigeons to help support the family. She suffered the walks through the heat of the summer, and in the winter walked through the mud while enduring very cold weather. However, she did all cheerfully without complaint. Mary's inherent goodness and virtue was exteriorly visible in her outward demeanor. And even some people would remark, she looked like a princess. But it makes sense. She's a child of God. She's a princess. She displayed a certain refinement and delicacy of personality. Her mother taught her the basics of the faith and trained her in the way of virtue. When her father was alive, the family would nightly pray the rosary. And after his death, it continued, with the exception that Maria would say the rosary with the family, and then after others had gone to bed, she would pray another rosary for the repose of her father's soul. Maria grew in virtue and beauty, and she was very tall. Though only 11 years old, she was mature for her age and very attractive with most lovely features. The Serinellis were quite the opposite of the Goretti family. The reason the Goretti family remained in severe poverty was because Giovanni Serinelli kept most of the profits from their hard work himself and did not give them their due. In addition, for amusement, both father and son succumbed to pornography along with the abuse of alcohol. About a month before the murder, 20-year-old Alessandro Serinelli began to make improper, lewd advances to the future saint. Maria never spoke of it to her mother because she didn't want to burden her with just another problem from the Serinellis, and also because Alessandro threatened to kill her if she did. On the morning of July 5th, 1902, Alessandro ordered Maria to mend one of his shirts. Alessandro had been working with Maria's mother but left when she was busy threshing and on pretext went back to the house. He found Maria sitting on the outside stairs with her little sister Teresa on a quilt beside her. Alessandro grabbed Maria, pulled her into the kitchen, produced a knife, and demanded that she submit to him. Maria refused, saying that it would be a sin against God. If he did, he would go to hell. In a rage, his lust turned to bitter hatred. Blinded by unleashed passion, he stabbed her 14 times in vital areas. The crying of little Teresa caused Assunta to send her son Mariano to quiet the baby and find out where Maria was. And then a neighbor was there too. And Alessandro was in his room in a drunken stupor, pretending to be asleep. And then Maria was on the kitchen floor, mortally wounded. In the hospital, the surgeons were surprised that Maria was still alive. Her body was not only badly torn, but the tremendous struggle she put forth left her elbows and knees badly bruised and swollen from being thrown to the floor more than once in her attempt to escape. The surgeons operated on Maria for 2 hours, but did not administer any anesthesia, nor did they give her water to drink, which she asked for, because of the seriousness of her condition. She did receive Holy Communion, the last rites, and was made a child of Mary. Maria lay in excruciating pain for 20 hours with perfect patience and forgiveness. Her last hours were spent in praying and forgiving Alessandro for what he had done. When the priest asked her, "Do you forgive your murderer with all your heart?" Maria replies, "Yes, for the love of Jesus, I forgive him, and I want him to be with me in paradise." She died at 3 o'clock on July 6, 1902. She was only 11 years, 9 months, and 20 days old. Alessandro was tried for murder. During the trial, he was arrogant and denied he had anything to do with it. He even tried to put all the blame on Maria. The evidence, however, was overwhelming, and he finally pleaded guilty, but showed no remorse. He even tried to hide under the plea of insanity, but after being examined by doctors, that plan failed. Because he was a minor, he was given a sentence of 30 years of hard labor. For years, he was completely unrepentant, would drive any priest who came to visit him out of his cell. He even became violent toward one priest who was trying to have him go to confession. It wasn't until he had a vision of Maria, who appeared to him in his prison cell, that he was converted. He was finally released after serving his time. Alessandro later went back to the town where he had murdered Maria and begged forgiveness from Maria's mother, which she gave him. In his testimony during the process of beatification for Maria, Alessandro admitted his guilt and eradicated any doubts concerning Maria's sanctity. He later became a Third Order member and a Franciscan Third Order member and a gardener in the Capuchin monastery. Maria was beatified in 1947 and canonized in 1950. Present were Maria's brothers, sister, her mother, and Alessandro. It should be noted that Maria Goretti's heroic courage was not born in an instant or in a short period of time. It was one which resulted from a life of prayer, love of God, strict obedience to his laws, and mortification. Her life was a heroic practice of many virtues, not just purity. Maria realized the importance of the spiritual battle and knew it was necessary to practice prayer, modesty, and purity as a way of life. These habits are virtues increased through the years. Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament was the center of her life, even though she was only able to receive him four times during her short life. She made her first communion in May. She received communion twice in June, and then she received communion before she died. This is due to the fact that frequent reception of communion was not allowed at that time. As a young lady, St. Maria Goretti practiced heroic virtue. When she discovered that her best friend took part in lewd conversation and behavior with a boy and tried to get her to do the same, Maria broke off any dealings with that girl thereafter. When exposed to the filthy language in the marketplace where she had to sell the eggs and pigeons for the family, she tried to turn her attention away and pray. When her neighbors chalked filthy pictures on the wall, she avoided it and turned her eyes away. Our Lady of Fatima said, "More souls go to hell for sins of the flesh than for any other reason." Many persons consider impurity to be a trifling fault and not a sin at all. Sadly, the sixth commandment is broken more frequently than any other. It forbids all impurity and modesty in words, looks, and actions, whether alone or with others. The ninth commandment forbids all thoughts and desires contrary to chastity. How can we, like St. Maria Goretti and St. Dominic Savio, whose motto was death rather than sin, obtain the moral courage to resist temptations against purity, which are so strong and so persistent? Our Lord taught his apostles to watch and pray in order to overcome temptation. How can we practically apply this to our lives? To watch means to have vigilance, to avoid occasions of sin, any person, place, or thing that easily leads us into sin. Stop looking at females with lust in your eyes, whether on the street, in the mall, on your phone, TV, movies, advertisements, magazines, etc. Avoid any unnecessary occasion of sin guarding purity. And if you have to be in an occasion of sin because of work or whatever, then make it a remote occasion of sin. Mortify your eyes, do some penance, pray ahead of time. Prayer is absolutely necessary to fortify your soul. When you devoutly assist at Mass, you receive incalculable spiritual benefits that you'll only be able to understand fully when you go to heaven. And then in closing, the rosary is this powerful spiritual weapon, and it's Our Lady's favorite prayer. Extraordinary graces can be received when it's devoutly recited every day. Oceans of grace come to us through frequent confession and frequent Holy Communion. When tempted to sin, run away from the danger and devoutly pray and repeat the names of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Be vigilant and you'll avoid many evils of body and soul. And be victorious in your struggle as was St. Maria Goretti. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.